Join our party line now. 1-800.
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
Super big dick energy.
Super. But
did you have fun?
I had a blast.
I had a really good time.
I was exhausted.
Is 2/6 of the funniest gay comics.
Bisexual.
America's favorite bisexuals.
Is pussy work or pussy work?
Everybody pussy work! Yeah, pussy work! Yeah, pussy work!
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
We think this juice stuff is very funny.
All right, so
especially when you think about it, there's no good reason that Bird and Aladdin would get along.
I'll peck your eyes out.
God damn.
You goddamn mongrel.
No.
Oh, oh my God. Well, Adam, thanks for being on the last episode of
the Ed Hollander Attack Show.
Tell him I'm fucking coming!
Hello, America. Thank you for listening to Ad Hominem Radio. This is Chris Paul.
I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
Here with Jeremy Shear.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt.
Tabitha Jones.
Where did you learn your trade, you stupid fucking cunt, you idiot?
And Kyle Honhorst.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove. But I can't see the stove.
We're here. It's me and Jeremy today.
Yeah.
Hey, fella. We're about 800 pounds light this week.
I know. It's weird not watching you on the other side of the couch, like halfway up in the air.
I'm less anxious about the legs of the couch this week. Kyle's super busy today. It's the it's comedy festival week.
Yeah.
Kyle was. We had Ad Hom last night. Of this recording, it was last night.
And we might have footage of it. So
yeah. Yeah.
Be on the lookout for that. It was a great show.
Really good. I was a little off, but I didn't need to be on because everybody was killing for the most part. And then even the bombs were funny.
Yeah.
They
were funny for different reasons, but it was funny.
But I had a showcase earlier in the day. So I was there from probably like 3 PM, 4 till after midnight. And I knew Kyle was a hard worker already, but really felt for him. Running around trying to keep everything together, two different stages and all the stuff that goes into it. There was a point where I was like, dude, you gotta sit down for a minute here. I'm worried about your blood pressure and shit.
Running a festival is really hard work.
Yeah, and he does two of them.
Yeah.
And this show. And there's the other podcast. And it's a very busy boy, Kyle. Yeah.
He's the busiest boy.
He's trying to get a lot in before the heart attack.
Yeah, he doesn't have much time to craft a legacy, so.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Smith when he turned 40. He had a big, like, when he, like, set up a podcast network and started making movies again.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
You want to leave more and more behind, I guess.
Well, I can tell you from the people that I've talked to that it has been more than worth it because people have been having a really good time at these shows.
Yeah. Yeah. The early show was a little late, but it was still just the room and the setup and vibe that they create for the festival is you know, it's still a good time.
Yeah.
You know, even the smaller crowds are fun.
I will tell you that it helps when I walk into the festival and, like, I know everybody running everything. So it's a very, it feels great.
Yeah. I think my first year I did stuff was like 2014, maybe 2015, around there. Mm. I think I got, that was the first time I submitted and got in. And then since then I just kind of, it's just assumed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Wellington, we did a whole episode with Wellington about, you know, some bullshit other people came, you know, had around it a few years ago. But,
oh, yeah,
there's a lot less of that these days.
Yeah, there really is.
I haven't really, like, I haven't been out to, I've met a lot of the newer comics, or I say newer, in the last 3 years, I guess, that I haven't been very active, but it's a good group of folks.
Seems that way. I'm not putting my hope in any of these people being decent or sticking around or not being monsters.
Well, I mean, and that's more conditioning than any, you know, than anything, but a lot of them are funny so far. That's on stage, and writing and stuff like that. I don't know. It's a good it's a good festival. There's one more today. Today's the last day.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler is headlining tonight, and I really want to go see it, but I also don't want to be around that many people, so I'm probably not going.
Yeah, I because last night the big show, the main stage, was sold out, and full crowd at the Odeon.
Yeah,
it's a strange the Odeon. I like the comedy there and everything, like that they're doing it there, but the It's strange for comedy because they have like the barrier up front that like for mosh pits that would usually be there. So that makes it a little less intimate, I think, but it worked. And, you know, I like a smaller or medium room. I've done some of those bigger stages and they're fun, but I don't know, it becomes a different thing in my mind.
It's when you're in a smaller room, like the laughs can kind of envelop you when you're in there, and like it really feels different when you're in front of a bigger crowd. Like
I'm sure anyone listed's like, yeah, you have to say that because that's all you're ever going to play to. But not necessarily. Even as a nobody, you get chances to go up at festivals and shit like that. And my experience is I prefer a small, crowded room over a bigger scattershot situation.
Yeah.
I like to look people in the eyes when I set up a joke where, like, you know what? I think fucking's cool.
Yeah. To be clear, like, so the Odeon, when you walk in, you go to the left. That's the main stage. That's what Chris is talking about with the barrier.
Yeah, that's where, like, a puddle of mud might be.
Yeah. But if you go to the right, there's a small room with a very tiny stage, and is set up perfectly for comedy.
Yeah.
Because everything is, like, it's small, so every seat is super close.
Right.
And it's great.
And then there's like an upper layer, like a step up and a bar at the top, which wasn't open, but you know, that's probably better because then you don't have people running back and forth.
Yeah. It, it reminded me of Water Street, the basement room there.
Yeah.
Except it's way smaller.
Yeah. It's also good because the like a lot of times like bar shows and stuff, you have people coming in and they'll be walking right past the stage and shit like that, and it's just it's a very good it could be a very good comedy room, and I hope the Odeon folks are impressed with the comedy scene after the festival.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how they wouldn't be. A lot of shows were sold out. Even the happy hour show or showcase I'm on today is sold out. It's in the smaller room, but sold out is sold out.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. It's good to hear that these shows are doing so well, because I know how hard everybody has worked on this.
The it seems like it's they started Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I think it's like the later like normal time shows do really well on the weeknights, and then like the earlier some of the earlier showcases were the ones that were light, that were like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So it's not
that's been historically the case,
though. Yeah, it's not surprising that it's, you know, that makes sense. People are still at work and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And those little ones are still fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just weird that it's, you know, the happy hour showcases started like as those 5 o'clock shows at the Kennedy Theater that no one came to. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just weird that that carried over into the Odeon.
Yeah. Yeah, but the festival, it's always been fun regardless of how, like, it's always nice to, like, there's comics that from out of town that come back. That's, like, the only time you get to see them is the festival, like, Eitan and some of those guys that have done it more than once.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll just come in for the festival, and it's like, oh, good to see you. And then, like, you'll meet people at these festivals that go on to do big things, and it's like, oh, awesome. Like, I did this festival with you, like, 2 years ago.
There was a... So, you know, the Odeon is known to be a rowdy, kind of a metal, punk, like, rock bands. A lot of bands play there, heavier ones. And so I think some of the people that came out were in that mindset coming out to it. There were a gaggle of all blonde, like almost identical white women. I kept calling them the Real Housewives of Eastlake. that they're like all captain's wives or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came out and there's like 8 of them. So they're like, just by design, they're an intention, a train of just, we want everyone to notice, you know, we're hot bitches and we're walking in here and we're drunk. We're buying drinks. And they were very loud, when they came in late, while the headliner was on in the main room, and they go over to the bar and were just like very obnoxious and loud, and the headliner had to ask them to, you know, to be quiet and stuff, and so they were sent away, and I saw them go like all in a, you know, big line march upstairs, and then I missed like 30 seconds later, immediately walk back downstairs. Like, whoever was upstairs was like, you gotta get the fuck out of here. And then they eventually landed in the side room that we mentioned, where there was no longer a show going on, and they just decided to like do their own open mic. And I realized that the white woman privilege is the exact same thing as stage confidence. They were very comfortable on stage on a microphone. Like, they just came in the first place believing everyone should be looking at them anyways. And, you know, but it was, it was like 20 minutes or something. They were in there just telling the same stories they fucking tell each other, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think one of them, it was like their 21st birthday or some shit. They were just, you know, looking to get white girl wasted and shit.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, yes, they're young, so there's an excuse for them not to know how to act. That doesn't mean I want to tolerate them.
Right. No, we had someone you guys got to go. And I was there when it happened, and they're like, well, we want to watch. Can we just stay here? And I was like, no, absolutely not. Get the fuck out. Like, nobody gives a shit about your birthday. You're going to be, they were already drunk. Like, I would have, obviously you want to fill in chairs, but it was also a situation there were actually tickets sold and shit like that. We needed to make sure there were seats for the people that paid specifically for that show.
Yeah. We actually had to seat people. Like, if you have tickets for the show, you get seats.
Yeah.
Like, comics, you know, go stand over in the I had the lurking corner.
Yeah. Yeah, we hid Jeremy in the darkest corner of the room.
It was perfect. Like, I could lurk in the corner, nobody knew I was there, and then, like, comics would just wander in and sit next to me and then wander off, and it was great.
Yeah. I like it. I don't know. Hopefully, we're hoping to do it there more often.
It's a really, really good room for this.
And I like the idea of that too, because then I would like to add a sound effect of like a baseball bat hitting a wall for like when you're about to come out, and like the Bear Jew music from Inglourious Basterds. Jeremy comes walking out of the fucking dark corner of the room.
I'm not dressing up like Eli Roth in Inglourious Basterds.
It's the Bear Jew.
That will not be pretty with me in a wife beater and khakis.
You think it's going to be any less pretty than the other time?
There's absolutely no way to make any of this look good. I realize that, but there's ways to make it look like not horrible.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked about any of the actual battles. Maybe we'll get more into that when Tabitha's here. We need to fill Tabitha in on what happened. She couldn't make it.
Yeah, Tabzy couldn't make it. She wasn't feeling good. She got the con flu and only went to one day of the festival.
It's definitely, we miss Tabitha, I think.
Yeah.
There was a point, I don't remember what had happened, but I remember thinking, fuck, I wish Tabitha was here. Yeah, it was something like she would have commented on, and you know,
it was probably a snack that needed eaten or something.
Yeah, somebody started throwing fish at the stage. I was like, no one's here to catch them.
Oh man, we have to get a tank for Tabitha. No, it was the battles were a lot of fun. Surprisingly, like, the New York guys that came through, Aiton Levine and Misha Han, almost stole the show.
Yeah.
With the very first battle.
I wasn't surprised. I watched them, they both were on the bigger show earlier, and fucking killed.
Yeah.
Like, they were great. Eitan's very funny. Misha is too. I just said Eitan like that because I had seen him last time around too. He did the show. I forget who he battled, but it was a good one.
I don't know if it was another guy from New York. I know it was another guy from out of town.
It was another New York comic. I think they knew each other.
Yeah. But it was funny because, like, they were... one of them was playing a word game with him where he was just constantly calling him the wrong name. And then the other guy was reacting.
Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah, about his Jewish name.
Yeah. It was it was good stuff. This time around, it was... they just, you know, they would tell a joke and then react and react back and forth, and it was fine.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like gamesmanship or anything. It honestly seemed like these are two friends having fun telling jokes about each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and I is it, do we know that they even knew each other, or were they just that funny? Or, I mean, they're still that funny if they did, but...
I mean, one of the, like, things that you want to get across to the audience is that we're all friends. Regardless of the type of show that it is.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. That's a...
All these idiots think that we go on tour together.
Yeah, that's a kind of skill in roast battling, is to make it come off to an audience that you are, you know, familiar enough with each other that this is okay. It does... I don't know, it does come off different when the crowd is aware, when, you know, they mention not knowing each other, or, you know, something like that. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. But super funny. I think Eitan, so Misha's Asian and Japanese, right?
I think Chinese, but I could be wrong.
I'm like 90% sure I heard him say Japanese on stage.
Okay. Well, you saw more of him than I did.
I hope I'm not wrong. At any rate, Asian. We'll see.
He's from Hawaii. I know that.
Yeah. The reason I mentioned it is one of Eitan's jokes was something about losing the roast. If I lose this, losing the roast battle, I forget the setup, but the punchline was sometimes you win some, you dim some.
Yeah. yeah. And he said it took him 30 minutes to write that joke. they were both really funny.
There was a table to my immediately to my left. I was standing like a foot away from a table that wasn't that into it. That, like, so there were four of them. It looked like a double date situation. And
were those the people that thought I was racist?
Probably. I think they left while you were still on. Like, they got up and cleared out, like, immediately after the show. They were out the door. I kept, because of where I was standing, I could hear everything that, you know, they were whispering and shit. And a lot of it was just, that's terrible. That's awful. I hope they realize that's as good as a laugh for our show.
Yeah.
Like, that's... But it looked like there were like three of them that were holding back laughs while the other one was a little up, like, being shocked at everything.
Yeah.
So there was a Debbie Downer in the group. And then there was a couple like in the middle in the front that the girl was like, if anything got anywhere close to like a gay joke or something like that, she was like kind of folding her arms and stuff. But
yeah,
she laughed at, you know, like stuff after those things. So it was, you know, she was fine. But that was the only two. The rest of the room was really into it. Good time.
Well, since I was told that somebody thought I was racist, there were like three people that thought I was racist.
It was probably Flemlop was one of them.
Well, I didn't say anything racist about him.
You say, but everything you say can be construed as
yeah,
racist.
That's true. I figure, like, when I was writing about Misha, I was like, I'm not going to do any gay Asian jokes.
Is he gay?
Yeah, I remember it coming up somewhere in the time that I had heard him.
Hmm.
So I didn't want to. I didn't want to get into that because, like, I don't know this guy. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Know that I'm only kidding. And yeah. Besides, I'm already about to make some Native American jokes. So
that's probably the ones that that whoever thinks you're racist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were racist.
How do you watch the whole show and then? Just think you're the racist.
I don't know.
That's crazy. Oh, because you said Jen Jen looked like a pile of melted milk duds
that you pulled out of the package at once.
I bet that was it.
Hey, look, that was the nice one I had for her that I used. The really mean one that I told you after the show I held back. I think that one was more dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Jen Jen Flem Love battle was interesting.
I'd like to see Jen Jen and Wanda Mayfield seesaw.
I don't know. Like, it's Jen Jen has an unfair advantage in that she has a sparkly cane. Not just any sparkly cane, though. It's a four-prong cane. It needs a way bigger center of gravity to contain all that ass.
Mickey Genosi is another standout. He did Slick better every time he does it.
Yeah, he and Phil like went at it. And
that was
they were like. Great, it was just dark joke after dark joke.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite battles that I've seen in a while, just because of the two people doing it and what they were doing. I was just like, this is cool.
Yeah.
They're basically having an edgelord off. But it's like they're good at it, so it's fun.
Yeah. And Joe kept his title. Joe kept the title again.
He did.
And here's why. Joe's a really good example of the fact that he's won it three times now.
He's in a three-match winning streak, yes.
Yeah. Because Joe is such a soft, kind boy. And what I'm saying is that it makes it obvious that it's a writing show and not a just being shitty to people show.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, writing showcase more than anything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I take away from Joe's current
reign. I do
like
that he does the New Japan thing and gives the champion speech after he wins too.
Yeah.
He's like our Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah. I think that's something we'll continue suggest to future champs.
I like it. We hadn't done it before, and Joe Graham has made a thing. But you know, he's got people like chopping at the bit to get at him. People want a shot at that belt. So,
yeah.
It's
it's crazy. It's kind of the first time where like we're going to have to come up with a power ranking or some kind of system to get to the belt, I think.
I think we should just have people start sucking dick for title shots.
Yeah.
I'm biting my tongue. I've accidentally stumbled onto something here.
Accidentally?
Stumbled onto something here. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have the old standing show your dick.
Show your dick, win the match.
Yeah. The key to a win is to go way too long into go into too many sudden deaths.
And then show your dick.
Yeah. It's only happened once, but yeah.
We keep having this problem where we have two really good people in a title match and nobody wants it to end.
Yeah.
This is the second time we have had a match with Brett. The other one was in Akron at the Funny Stop against Marv, where the crowd just really liked the battle and didn't want it to stop.
Yeah, it happens. We've had it with when Kristen and Tabitha's title match went several extra rounds.
Yep.
I mean, I guess the rule could. I mean, also show your pussy. just doesn't seem as fun as funny as show your dick to men.
Yeah.
Seems more predatory that way, but
yeah, it's like we noticed that there are the women on your show are getting a lot younger.
I have like five things in my head that could mean, but I don't. I don't want to pick one. Yes, Joe Graham proving to be a very good champ.
I really like Joe as champ. Honestly, like one of my favorite things about these shows is that people grow on me as people and comedians as they get good at roast battling.
Yeah.
Joe is definitely one of those people. It's like I've gotten to like him more because he is good at this.
It's also, to be honest, the most I pay attention to any other comics on stage.
Yeah.
And that's just I'm not being a dick. Helps me to not get like a premise in my head and then forget about it. If you see a ton of comedy, you're gonna accidentally think of something and not, you know, realize where it came from sometimes and shit like that. I zone out further. Also, it's painful.
It's really to painful. Watch.
I will say, since I've been back out more, I had forgotten what it is I appreciate about open mics, and it is that half of the people are just absolutely fucking nuts. Like, they're just completely out of their fucking minds that they think that they're funny. and also, I love watching somebody just eat shit just as much as I like to watch somebody kill.
Mm.
I'm not laughing. I'm sitting there going, oh my God, that's what you think this is. Like, it's always interesting to me to see what new people or like, you know, there's people that are like, not they don't really understand what it is, they just their family thinks they're funny and then they come out, you know, and sometimes they keep showing up and their fucking family sucks and boo you. Hate you. You just keep running into the same fucking dumbass family over and over again.
Look, all you have to do to get out of that situation is just steal that guy's walker.
But it happens, and it's always interesting to see what those people think comedians do when they go up.
Yeah.
And it's very, like, especially really, like younger guys when they first start, like, that are, like, 20 or, you know, 21 in that range, they, they do that, like, hey, folks, like, they do a very, like, they've seen a lot of stand-up in cartoons and shit like that.
Yeah. I hate all of that, so.
I enjoy cringing at folks.
Yeah, it's, I only have so many hours of my day. I don't want to spend like two of those hours feeling weird because some asshole said something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's, there are times where you can tell that they're just trying to be funny, but yeah, it comes off like super racist.
Oh, and but those are sometimes magic. I really wanted to recreate the chicken wing scene at All Saints.
See, that's what I'm talking about, though. That's the kind of shit, like, it's a slog most of the time. But when you sit through enough of them, you see the most amazing shit. And I, by amazing, I mean, like, just the, like, it's like where the line of like people just being insane, like it's just short of dangerous. It's like just short of like you're just the next step down from them murdering the entire bar. It's a very, you know, one bad day Joker kind of thing.
Chris, I feel seen.
Yeah. Sometimes they stick around for like 15 years.
Shut up. Shut up. I don't like the fact that I'm one of the crazy people that you like to see at open mic.
Seasoned crazy people, Jerry. You're a veteran at being a crazy person, I see.
Yeah.
It's also fun to watch someone come along and like do it for a couple of years and just watch them deteriorate as a human being.
Okay, I will admit I do enjoy watching the downfall of terrible people sometimes, but
oh man, when somebody comes in, Fred, my favorite thing is somebody comes in and they've been writing and they're like ready, you know, and they like do well right away. Like there was a guy that was really funny right away in Columbus years ago that because I think he had worked like at Cedar Point, like he'd done something where he like got comfortable on a microphone and in front of a crowd and shit. I think that's a big part of getting, you know, being getting experience and shit is like getting used to that. So he had kind of a leg up starting right away, and I don't know, you watch people come in and they have something like that helps them ease into it better, and then they do really well, and then they start to realize like that there's a whole other like how it's one of those things, the more that you do it, the more you understand that you don't know everything about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just like, you know, you have to figure it out. Like, even now at like almost 10 years, I'm like, oh shit, there's a whole other way to do certain things. And like, you don't know how much you don't know. And that's what I enjoy watching people figure out. Mm-hmm. To go from like super optimistic about it to like, this is going well, to like, oh fuck, I'm a hack. This is going well because, you know, it was, you know, it just happens that way sometimes.
Yeah. Also, you can watch somebody's mind completely flip and go in an opposite direction out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have the patience for any of it anymore. So I'll be back out once I don't want to hurt people.
I think I've had those times, there's been some pivot points where I've been like, you know, I'm gonna not lean into this pothead thing so much. Or, you know, different, where I've altered. Oh,
the Cleveland Comedy Festival was kind enough to provide headshots on Friday, yesterday afternoon. So I had my headshots taken wearing a Chris Paul hothead shirt.
Because I saw Josh Volchko, and he's like, oh, I saw you yesterday. And I was like, no, you didn't. And he's like, you were on Jeremy's shirt. I was like, ooh.
I assure you, I did not make you look good.
I regret selling you one of those.
No, you don't. You really needed the money.
Yes, true. I was able to smoke for 3 days longer.
Yeah.
That's fun when your friends buy your merch because they know you're broke, not because they want it.
Oh, I've enjoyed wearing this shirt out and about.
In this house, we enjoy using those shirts to dry under the leak under the sink.
I had somebody ask me about getting a copy of Trigger Warning, so I have to dig through my totes and see if I have any left.
Do you feel good about that?
What about that?
About DVD? Giving it to people?
I think if they want to see it, like, sure.
Yeah.
Especially considering, like, I know I'm a different person than I was when I recorded that DVD.
Yeah, I think that's the that's the weird thing about recording something like that and having yeah. it out there is like, yeah, it's weird. It's like a snapshot of like, yeah, that's what
this is who I was in 2012.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
This is me, like, on probation doing things.
Yeah. When other people hear it, they're very nice about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're just being nice or if they actually like it, but they, you know, they'll say, oh, this is so funny. This is, you know. Sound like a
I'm glad you've had that experience.
Real thing.
I had somebody come up to me at a show and go, hey, I was given your DVD at this movie convention that Jorge De La Rosa always goes to. I forget what it's called, but it's like a big thing every year that people go to. He said, so I watched your DVD. Was it supposed to be funny? I just laughed. I was like, man, that is the
I would have been rudest like, you fucking ever, walking but... Twitter comment. Get the fuck out of here.
It was very funny. But
people are complimentary, but when I listen to it, I'm like, oh god. Ugh. I don't like my voice. I don't like the jokes anymore. Some of them I do. I have listen to it and stuff that I don't remember, like it'll make me laugh. But that's, you know, I don't sit around listening to it. I
yeah
did a while back because I re-edited a version of it that I'm gonna do something with here soon. But
yeah, I am not exactly like I'm not selling my DVD anymore, so that's like how I feel about it. But
yeah, I know I this is probably my biggest problem doing any of this is I'm really bad at that stuff, and like I have the link like in my social media stuff, but I didn't really push it. Even when I put it out, I didn't do a very good I was a crazy pants at the time and just kind of dumped it out.
Yeah. So, how does it feel knowing that you're the sanest one among us right now?
It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Fantastic. Glad you're enjoying.
Having a pretty good back half of the year. First half, not so much, but...
Right. Yeah. I am having a horrible back half.
Well, that's why... First of all, that's why there's four of us.
Yeah.
Because we're all... Kyle is the... Mentally the most healthy. Like, he has a real life. Like, he's married and... I don't know. Maybe gonna have kids. I don't know if he has plans for kids, but... Regardless,
I think because they're both fat people, he can't get his penis far enough inside of her to actually ejaculate enough to have kids.
Well, so. I'll have you know that's... You only have to go so far.
I'm aware. I just wanted to get the image in people's head of two bellies pushing against each other and just the tip of a penis entering a vagina.
Oh boy. I don't know. We have to get over to the comedy festival today. Yeah. Or I do.
You do. I am I'm not going. I am you have helped me realize as soon as I come over here that I am not like okay with being around people right now. So,
well, thanks. it's fucking rude. Yeah. Once I saw you, I was like, I don't want to see people. This is fucked up. Yeah, I don't know. The festival is going great. We can't really plug any more of that. It'll be over by the time this is out, but
yeah.
It was fantastic if you're hearing it after the fact. Sorry you missed it, Chris Clem.
Yeah. Chris Clem, I heard a rumor that I have to bully my way onto a show in December. Please contact me with further details.
Well, yeah, it's who you need to talk to about bullying. Little bully Chris Clem.
You know what? I think, CJ, you need to move back here so we can start bullying some of these young comics. That's
is that, you think that's what?
I think that the scene is missing
a good, like, bullying.
A good bullying. A couple, not just any bullying, like big old fat people bullying.
Well, you know what? I keep hearing, I've overheard several times now, newer comics that were introduced to Patrice O'Neill through YouTube and stuff, like more, you know, more that way. And they all seem pretty hyped on his comedy philosophy. So I feel like we should start doing Hat Court, like Bruton suggested years ago.
Yeah,
if these guys love you know, honest comedy and Patrice and stuff so much, I'm gonna start telling them they suck, because I feel like they would appreciate that, right?
I
don't you think?
No.
You don't think if no. They're really into the honesty and stuff, if I'm just honest about their jokes, they're not gonna like it as much?
No, that's
that's no. Weird,
isn't it? It's very weird, but
you know. I will say, just since we've been talking about open mics and stuff, they're absolutely are a slew of Chappelle babies that are emboldened to say whatever they want about gays and trans again.
A slew, you say?
Yes.
Well,
it's becoming a thing. I've seen a couple of times. So a couple of guys, and so,
well, I did not choose violence about that last night. So,
well, I'm gonna start signing up right after them. That's what I'm gonna do, and you know, give an opposing.
And now the cocksucker's perspective with Chris. Hey, fam. I just want to let you know that dick is delicious. You heard?
You can be straight and suck dick. It's not...
Yeah. That's how it works now. And guess what? It doesn't have to be a man dick. It can be a lady dick.
Welcome to 2021, faggot.
Girl cum tastes like cucumber melon. What?
My thing is, there's a way to fucking make fun of everything. There is a way to do all of that edgy stuff. You just don't be a fucking sledgehammer. You know, have some fucking tact and be funny about it. Just make homophobic statements and then try to support them with jokes. It's a joke format for sure to say like something shocking or you know, that you think is going to be controversial and then walk your way to defending your perspective. That's a style of joke. Bill Burr is really good at it. Most people at open mics that didn't start doing this 25 years ago, not that good at it. But at any rate, we were wrapping up.
Yeah.
We got shit to do.
We do. I gotta go get more beverages.
I gotta wash my dick before I go to the show.
That's a good idea.
Like, you gotta wash my dick before I stick it in this crowd's mouth.
No, man, you've gotta keep it fresh and clean because there are people that are gonna be asking you for title shots.
Mouth. That is not how you get a title shot. You just write good jokes.
That's, no, no.
You write them in Sharpie on my dick, but.
You have to suck Chris Paw's dick.
That's false.
To get a title shot.
Now. No, you don't. I'm very picky. About title shots. Okay.
Look, I know who's getting the next title shot, and I just want it to be known that he definitely sucked your dick.
That's absolutely not true. We haven't picked anyone. And don't say shit like that. Don't get me canceled.
Don't get me canceled.
Oh no, I might have to go start a show on Compound Media. Don't cancel me.
Yeah. Please don't cancel me. I don't want to be friends with Chad.
Yeah, you think Chad Zumach holds a grudge. You just wait, Cleveland. Add the desperation of that I'd never had a sweater vest night. You will feel my wrath. Okay, Tabitha's not here to sign out, so we'll go old school. That'll do, pigs.